Welcome to the Weekly Wire, EventWire's Sunday review of the week in live events production. I'm your host, and this is episode number 6. It's been another dense week across our industry, a week that reminded us just how much is happening at once, in touring, in gear, in the ongoing negotiation between artists, labels, and AI, and in the quiet backstage work of building the venues and teams that make live entertainment possible. Plenty to unpack, so let's get into it. Before we dig into the news, a quick observation. If you spent any time on EventWire this week, you'll have noticed how much of the conversation has drifted toward two poles: the physical craft of touring on one side, and the software and rights layer on the other. Somewhere in the middle sits the daily work most of us actually do: specifying gear, staging rooms, moving crews, and negotiating margins. That middle layer is where the industry's real economics live, and it's what we tried to focus on this week. We open in touring and festivals, where Lollapalooza wrapped up another edition in Chicago's Grant Park. Event Marketer put together a photo tour capturing 10 of the biggest experiential moments, a reminder that at Lollapalooza scale, activations aren't just add-ons anymore. They're a genuine part of why people buy the ticket. Sponsors are staging fully built environments right on the festival grounds, and the production complexity behind those brand experiences now rivals the concert stages themselves. That has real implications for production designers, lighting crews, and AV integrators. The brand side of festivals is now an entire industry within an industry, and the operational overlap with the main stage keeps growing. Over in Scotland, PK Sound delivered SoundShapes coverage to Edinburgh's Usher Hall for a special Outlander in Concert performance, a beautiful example of adaptive line array beamforming in a heritage venue where the room itself is part of the show. That was one of the stories that drew a lot of attention this week, and it's easy to see why. When old halls meet modern acoustic control, everyone wins. The artist gets a room that behaves the way the mix demands, and the audience gets intelligibility and impact from every seat. It's the kind of quiet engineering victory that used to be impossible in these older halls. J. Cole brought his career full circle on the Fall Off tour, and Polestar had a strong review of the run. Meanwhile, Earth, Wind & Fire had to postpone their San Francisco show due to a medical emergency involving a band member. We wish them well. Georgia Smith announced a North American fall run, and Domi and J.D. Beck unveiled their tongue-in-cheek Who Asked tour. Even the tour naming has gotten more playful this year. And on the industry side, IQ Magazine's Global Stadium Report for 2026 landed this week and quickly became one of the most read pieces on EventWire. If you work in stadium touring, festivals, or venue operations, that report is worth the download. It also included IQ's Stadium Stars list, an inside look at the venues and operators driving the top of the market this year. There's also a fascinating undercurrent in this year's report about the tension between legacy stadiums and the newer purpose-built venues coming online, a trend worth watching if you're planning capital deployments. Music Business Worldwide continued to deliver its usual mix of thoughtful commentary, and one piece that stood out was Juan Carlos Dominguez of Feel the Club walking through what it takes to promote a Shakira show, and, along the way, to put Ecuador on the touring map for global artists. That's the kind of business of touring story that doesn't get told often enough. There's also a Polestar cover piece on Fuerza Regida this week, tracking their journey to what they're calling their This Is Our Dream Stadium Trek, a landmark run for the group and a real inflection point for regional Mexican touring at large. Now to gear launches. It was an unusually noisy week on the gear front. Boris FX added a spatial panner to its Sequoia DAW, a small but telling update, as immersive audio workflows continued to filter into daily post-production and mixing routines. KRK, meanwhile, made a bigger splash with its new advanced wireless control for professional monitoring, a story that ended up being the top read piece across EventWire this week. Wireless control on studio monitors used to feel like a nice to have. This launch confirms that it's now table stakes for the professional space. Violet Audio quietly introduced two useful items, the DX16B passive splitter and the IO44 adapter. Not glamorous, but genuinely useful pieces for anyone building or expanding a live rig. LG unveiled a two-layer OLED panel that's meaningfully cheaper to produce, which could ripple into rental-friendly display pricing over the next couple of years. And ShowLive SFX powered ASAP Rocky's Don't Be Dumb tour with a mix of Unity lasers driven by Pangolin Control, a great example of how touring shows continue to lean harder into precision laser design. We also saw AV Network Profile Nano Banner, a compact digital signage on the Go platform. That's a signal that touring signage, backstage wayfinding, and small activation displays are entering a much more portable era. Expect to see this pop up on more shows. Elsewhere in gear news, Rhythm and Lutron introduced a pro plugin that folds Radio Raw 3 lighting and Savoia shading into the Rhythm Smart Home platform, worth a look for residential integrators specifying architectural lighting. Bandit Lights also confirmed it's back out on the road for 2026 with Jason Aldean's Songs About Us tour, adding to what's shaping up as a strong country touring season. And Phoebe Bridgers announced a planetarium experience tied to her Lost Weekend release, a growing category in the immersive venue conversation. To installations and venues, where a lot happened this week beneath the surface. Shure has moved into the Rock Nashville complex, giving the brand a stronger physical anchor in the city that's rapidly becoming a live audio hub. In Australia, Bondi Icebergs, the swimming club perched on the Sydney coast, refitted its restaurant and function spaces with a full Harman package of JBL, Crown, and BSS gear. It's the kind of hospitality install that ends up doing 100 changeovers a year, and those choices really matter. Chicago got a moment too, with a historic Kenora Cinema receiving a modern audio refit that keeps the room's character intact while giving it competitive playback for first-run screenings. Radio City Hall, right in the heart of Manhattan, hosted an immersive Les Miserables production, the first time the venue has hosted a show of that format. And in Prague, Live Nation acquired three of the city's venues in a single move, another reminder that the international touring market is quietly consolidating. Over in Chile, Scalable Display Technologies calibrated the projection system at the Obama Presidential Center in Chicago, a rare peek into a demanding installation where multi-projector alignment across large architectural spaces has to be flawless. And in Sweden's Sodraport, CU Fosco has delivered a new LED mast lighting solution that cuts installed power consumption by 59%. Not a live events install, but a striking benchmark for anyone specifying industrial lighting where the same technology increasingly overlaps with festival and outdoor event lighting design.
Now to people moves. AES 2026 election results were confirmed this week, always a barometer of where our audio industry's thought leadership is heading. HK Audio appointed TR Electro Stereo as its distributor for Israel. Elation continued its 2026 roadshow, this time heading to Kansas City on August 19th. And CT Entertainment was honored as Nutrik Group America's Partner of the Year, a well-earned recognition. Meanwhile, KMH Integration added Keith Hanadel as it expands into broadcast, media, and IT projects. On the sustainability front, PSA and Onboard Earth are working to reduce the carbon footprint of touring travel, a growing conversation in every green room discussion this summer. Over to industry news, AI, and rights. There was a lot to sift through this week. Merlin signed a Spotify licensing deal covering AI-powered fan-made covers and remixes, a milestone in how independent labels position themselves around AI-assisted content. Bose Professional closed its acquisition of Fulcrum Acoustics, a meaningful expansion of Bose's professional loudspeaker lineup as it prepares to become 802 Labs later this year. ADI Global Distribution completed its spin-off from Resideo and began trading independently on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker ADIG. Universal Music has moved to dismiss the American Federation of Musicians lawsuit over its Udio AI deal, a case that will likely shape how labels and unions handle generative AI licensing well beyond this specific dispute. In Nashville, TikTok closed its Music Row office and laid off staff, a striking move only 2 years after the platform's major Music Row launch. South Korea's KOMCA lifted its ban on AI-assisted songs, though false filings now risk royalty holds and other consequences. Warner Music's CFO and COO Armin Zerza is departing, another notable executive move in a year full of them. Warner is also signaling to investors that AI music licensing deals will begin lifting subscription revenue starting later this year, so his exit lands at a genuinely pivotal moment for the company. And Music Business Worldwide asked a fascinating question this week, whether AI's real disruption isn't what gets made, but what gets wanted. In other words, whether the recommendation engine, not the generation engine, is where the next battle sits. Worth reading if you're thinking about how audiences form taste in the AI era. Also worth flagging, there's a piece running in MBW about how India's music industry is transitioning from a song-driven economy to a personality-led show business one. That's a huge shift, and it directly maps to how touring, live events, and merchandising will evolve in one of the world's largest markets over the next 5 years. If your business touches Asia-Pacific touring at all, it's worth reading through the weekend. For a lighter piece, MBW also profiled the ongoing global conversation around Asian pop, how it's expanding beyond K-pop, and how Southeast Asian and South Asian scenes are reshaping the touring pipeline for the next decade. And Ticketmaster scooped up Red TUS in Uruguay, part of a broader push into Latin American ticketing infrastructure. Now to training and podcasts. SoundGirls published a strong piece on creating better workplaces across audio and live entertainment, an ongoing conversation the industry needs to keep having in earnest. They also profiled Monitor Engineer of the Year winner's journey from loading trucks to running the wedge world at scale, a great reminder of the paths that still exist for people starting fresh in this business. And their Philadelphia chapter is restarting this month with a meetup at Clark Park. Nice to see the local chapters coming back to life. Pro Media Training expanded its DAW mixing workflow course, which continues to be one of the more accessible ways for developing engineers to build strong mix fundamentals. On our end, at Geezers of Gear, we published a really strong conversation this week with Bert Delgado, tracing 4 decades of television production from HD through the present AI era. Bert has been in the room for many of the industry's defining moments, and it's an honest look at what changes and what doesn't as the tools evolve. Highly recommended listening for anyone thinking about their own career arc in this business. John Huntington released a deep dive on multicast networking in entertainment and show environments, essential reading if you're building any large-scale show network. Multicast is one of those topics that sits quietly at the center of most modern show infrastructure, but rarely gets discussed openly, so it's great to see a technical writer of Huntington's caliber tackle it. Follow Me is also featuring its Delta platform at Berlin's About You catwalk this week at Tempelhof, showing where remote follow spot technology now sits as a standard tool on major fashion productions. ESR has extended the deadline for its Above and Beyond Awards, which recognize sustainability and innovation in event rigging. If you have a project worth nominating, there's still time. Comic-Con 2026 also wrapped in San Diego, with Event Marketer covering the quests, character journeys, and cafes that anchored the second half of the show. Comic-Con production keeps growing in scale and ambition, and the AV crews behind those experiences deserve real recognition. Rave Pubs also gave the industry a lighter moment this week with their You Know Your Work in AV piece, perfect for the quiet August stretch before the fall install season kicks in. Closing today, we want to give a nod to the people quietly building the infrastructure that makes all of this possible. The Bondi Icebergs install, the Kenora refit, the Shore move to Nashville, the Radio City Immersive Show. None of these happen without the crews, the integrators, and the operators who show up every day. This industry moves fast, and it's worth pausing occasionally to appreciate that the visible spectacle we love is built on invisible, meticulous work. A general reminder, as we head into the second half of August, LDI is roughly 3 months out, ISE preparations quietly begin in the fall, and the touring calendar is about to shift into arena season. If you're specifying, ordering, or scheduling anything for the fall runs, this is the last calm window before things accelerate. Use it well. That's your Week in Live Events production. Whether you were on the road, in a studio, on a lift, or catching up between gigs, thanks for spending part of your Sunday with us. This has been the Weekly Wire, a Geezer Media Corp audio property. Have a great Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week.